So we're gonna start with my moderator. We have Alexander, aka Name Tag, from Lab Podcast on SoundCloud. You can find him there. Then we also have David Phillips from Podcast Detroit. And we have Santuan Jackson and Antoine Jackson from the Hip Hop College. The College of Hip Hop. And then we have Max Dibble from Final Five, Francis Brunow, who's a policy analyst and a podcast that he had called In This Town. And then we have Tom Lawrence from Lawrence Technologies. Let's give him a hand.
All right, so to pretty much start off, just based on what I was seeing on the website, and just for a correction, it's actually Label Podcast. Just put hashtag LABL Podcast on the social media. You should pull up. Just subscribe on SoundCloud. I want to say if you got the podcast app on your iPhone or maybe your iPad, you should be able to find it there. Can y'all hear me a little better?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was just looking on the website. It showed that like over 57, I took some notes on it, but over 57 million people in the U.S. are tuned in to podcasts every month. So I'm sure that number is only increasing as more people are becoming familiar. So the increasing amount of listeners for the podcast do show that pretty much the podcast is not a passing fad, pretty much. It's saturated, but it's not a fad at all. It's actually a good way to approach and deliver content to the listeners. So pretty much for those of y'all that's in attendance, if you haven't, you know, heard of a podcast or you're planning on starting one, or even if you have one, hopefully this is to increase the awareness of you using the podcast pretty much and how to like reach an audience or just grow your audience pretty much. So just for starting out, I believe we had, am I pronouncing it right? I want to say Francis Bruno.
Yes.
Is it right? Friend of the In His Place podcast from Detroit, right?
That's right.
Okay. Just kind of explain like, you know, just more what the podcast is and how it started for you and you know, what type of audience it has.
So, In This Place, actually, Matt Dibble and I, so the both of us, co-hosted, it was about weekly podcast, so feel free to jump in, Matt, as a talk about us, about Detroit. And it was a couple seasons ago, so this past season, we actually did a lot of work that didn't end up on a podcast. I'm happy to talk about that, too. The first season was about sort of big topics in Detroit, big themes. Like we talked about the, what's the thing that happens north of 8 Mile every year? The Dream Cruise. We called it, what was it? Fuck the Dream Cruise. The Nightmare Cruise. We talked about.
Let's just pass the mic.
Sure.
We talked about the Arena District, this big area here that I've been working on. We talked about race in the city. We talked about who gets to be a Detroiter, just the word Detroiter. And it was about an 8 to 10 episode series that we put together. And we mostly just did it because we both love listening to them. We were like, we can do this. We have some things to say. We both have some background in this topic, in this area, and wanted to see really what it was like. So just to cue off the opportunity, as someone who's only really listened to podcasts ever, it was and is, you know, the first thing I did to enter into the world of podcasts as a producer, as someone who makes podcasts. And it was really interesting, really eye-opening. It was challenging, but ultimately it was something we were able to do and put together in a regular way. So I put that out there as as an opportunity for us all to use this medium, which Alexander said very well. It's a great way to deliver content, something you've been thinking about, ideas that you have. Can I give it to Matt just to riff off of In This Place?
I think the only thing I'll say is, like, we were surprised that the barrier to entry was really low. Is this thing working?
No, yeah. They're good. They don't sound because it's one of the other sessions, but they can hear
me. Okay. And we have some technology people here who would be able to talk to that a lot better than me. But I was really surprised at how easy it was for us to just say, like, this is something we're going to do. And with, like, a pretty minimal investment, we were able to get our podcasts onto, you know, SoundCloud and the iTunes library.
And I believe next up, and thanks for your take on that as well, I believe we have Tom Lawrence.
Yep.
And yours is pretty much technology services, correct? Yep. All right, where can they find you and just kind of explain a little bit more to the people? Can you hear me a little better? I'm going to turn the volume down. But just kind of explain, like, to the people exactly, like, you're in tech, so just kind of give a breakdown of that.
Sure. So my name is Tom Lawrence, and I own a company called Lawrence Technology Services, which is an IT services company. But what we started doing a few years ago and really put a lot of effort into it recently is building up a YouTube channel to go with it. And what I do is I showcase a lot of the technology we use. We showcase like how-to videos, breakdown videos, and we show working in IT, like the physical work we do, which is kind of fun because what you do is we're starting interacting, creating community, and it kind of sets us apart as a thought leader in that market. So people want to know about different IT things. It's kind of funny, even when I'm searching for something, some of my videos come up as the responses to the different things. And then coinciding with that, I also have another podcast I do called SMLR for Sunday Morning Linux Review. I do with a couple of co-hosts, and we focus specifically on Linux topics and open source topics. And, you know, this only started a few years ago. We're on we recorded episode 235 yesterday, and Microsoft noticed us about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago now, and reached out to us. And we actually got all of me and my co-hosts, we flew out to Microsoft's Build conference and interviewed top-level executives there and put this together. And like you said, there's a little bit of adventure of getting there, but you got to put together some really strong content. And, you know, you got to remember, too, when you first start out, you're going to listen to some, you're talking to dead air almost. But, you know, over time, we're only on episode 235. The next couple episodes are going to be us releasing the interviews we did with the, you know, management at Microsoft and Linux-related stuff. So it's very deep technical things. But it's a lot of fun, and it's got, our audience is pretty big, and it's really focused, and it becomes a fun interaction. Doing all this, so I really have a passion for it. Same with the YouTube videos. Once you start building your platform, you can use it to call out companies, which I've learned and got myself in not trouble really, but right now there's a Twitter discussion going on between the executive of one company and another company over some products that are reviewed and how they actually work. So it's been kind of fun, but it creates more engagement, interactions, and we like a lot of truth in technology, as I say it. So I'll break down like how things work. And it, like I said, it's just been so much fun doing it. And between the YouTube and both, like Crossbro, both channels, and working in the IT industry has been great because that's a lot of my source material. So, you know, we're working on this project or that project, and then we get details on the YouTube channel. Like, because people always want to know, how'd you really do that? How'd you do this implementation? And it kind of serves as a guide, and we've gotten consultant jobs out of it as well, consulting with other IT companies around the country and set things up. So it's kind of both, for me, a passion, a fun, and share my enthusiasm for technology, and on a business standpoint, it's actually generating customers for me.
Only on episode 235, he says. It's like an incredible commitment.
Yeah, it is a lot of commitment.
Yeah, I was just going to say something about that 235. I'm only on episode 13 right now. We have David Phillips as well. I'm imagining that is right here. Okay, and that's IT and the D. Mm-hmm. So it's performing on like IT, of course. And just kind of give her a better breakdown of that and what you can find on the line also. I took notes, but I would rather you.
All right, so sure. I mean, IT and the D started off as a networking group for information technology folks here in Metro Detroit back in 2001. Around 2013, a friend of a friend built out a podcast network, or an internet radio network, I guess you can call it, because it was more about live stream. We started our show. It kind of jumped a little bit. By the time 2015 rolled around, we kind of outgrew where we were. Well, let's be honest. We were in a studio in the Russell Industrial Center, which is a phenomenal building with a lot of history. The entire floor smelled like a Cheech and Chong set, and so when certain guests wanted to come along, we kind of had to say no because, well, their police detail might not be as forgiving as we were. So a friend of ours, Neil, who owns a company called Trinet, had some extra suites up above his building, and we said, can we borrow one? He was gracious enough to give us one. We built our own studio. It was going to be us, our own little private man cave. Just we were going to our little escape route to do our own show. And then it took all of 3 weeks before people started knocking on the doors and were like, guys, yeah, so you have this great studio. You use it for 2 hours a week. Stop being jerks. Open the doors. We want to do a podcast. So in July of 2015, we launched a network, Podcast Detroit. By January of 2016, we were full and had no more time slots to give people. And so we found a building in Royal Oak where we now have four studios up and running. We've got about 80 shows running out of there every week, including Tom's.
Yep.
And we've got another studio downtown here in the Penobscot building up on the 20th floor. Where to find that? Oh, so our, I guess our show. We never really had any intention of doing a podcast. In fact, we had never listened to one before we first sat down behind the mic and did one. So it was a lot of trial and error. Our first 10 episodes, I frequently say I can't listen to. Bob can attest. He's in the back corner of the room. That's my business partner back there and co-host on the show. We experimented. You know, was it going to be the sales guy versus the geek? Was it going to be, you know, Bob using his big booming DJ voice all night? No, that didn't work. Was it going to be really, really hardcore tech? No. So we kind of finally settled in on, you know, what do IT guys talk about when they're at the bar? So, you know, if you're doing cool stuff here in and around Metro Detroit, you know, I always say we've had CIOs, CTOs, and CEOs. We've also had professional wrestlers, roller derby girls, and the guys that run Go Comedy Improv. So it's a little bit of everything, and it's kind of blown up and it allows us to do what we do from a network perspective and to help other shows find their voice. And, you know, like it's been commented on before, yeah, there really is a low barrier to entry. You know, if you have a USB mic and a laptop, you can get started. When you're ready to, our biggest growth as a network recently has been those shows that have been doing that and said, all right, you know what, it's time for me to start having guests and I don't want them in my living room, so I'm ready to use your studios. And that's kind of what we do, what we are.
Pretty much for me, before we introduce the next speaker here, I was on episode, I want to say number 6 of the Label Podcast, and I was talking to DJ DBT, who's in attendance. Yeah. And I was telling him, I said, man, you know what? This is like my lowest amount of listens, and it was with Uncle Pete. And I was just going to say, like, oh, is it really worth it? Should I keep doing this? Because it was hard to kind of like reach this audience until I believe I got an Instagram deal, and it let me know that people were listening and they were interested in the content I was providing because the College of Hip Hop here, we got Santuan and Antoine Jackson. Was my first, I guess you would say, you know, group or party that reached out in reference to advertisement. So I'm going to just let y'all, you know, hear what they have to say in regards to what the College of Hip Hop is, because they're also, like me, podcast junkies. So we're going to let them speak.
Hey, how you doing? I'm AJ.
I'm SJ.
And we the College of Hip Hop. So what we do from a podcast standpoint is, like, we don't have a podcast, but we listen to every podcast. I look for a new podcast a week. Because I work long hours or I might go on driving trips, and that's how I pass the time. And any podcast that connect to us, like you said, that's the first thing we do. We reach out because usually podcasts that connect, that's our audience for what we do. And what we do is we actually teach the business of entertainment through an app. It's like the first app of its kind. And we have a seminar section that we set up like a podcast, but we don't speak on it. Well, we just spoke on the first one. But we let the artist, the CEO, the executive, we let them talk to the audience that we bring so people can know about the entertainment industry.
So to elaborate further on that, like we just released our first one that we spoke on, but it was with Lonzo Williams. And if anybody is familiar with the NWA story, Lonzo Williams is who put NWA, he was real instrumental in putting it together. But when you listen to it, the questions we ask are so general and broad, it gives him the room to speak without us having to really ask too many more questions. And we learn how to do that from listening to podcasts, because anybody who wants to hear the content is really there to hear the guests. You know, so we do it, that's the way we do when we do our interviews and our seminar section for the app that we created. So we reached out to NameTag to advertise on his show because we know that the shows need advertisement to keep going. So I don't know if we were the first to advertise with you or like, but that advertisement helped us a lot because that helped us get to the seat that we're in right now today speaking here. So
pretty much the one question that I get often is, how do I start one? How do I start a podcast? What do I need to pretty much, you know, get a podcast on the platform? And for me, just listen, I was listening to podcasts for over about a year. And I was wondering the same thing, like, how do I start this? Do I need to be in the studio? Do I need a laptop or a computer? And really, honestly, I had the tools with me the entire time. It was my iPad. I had an iPad mini, and I had recently purchased a iRig mic cast my fiance purchased for my birthday.
And from there, it was just history. I just started just recording the episode. I didn't have a studio. I was actually recording sometimes from my car, whether it be on a lunch break or from home. You know, I actually did the episode with them that I had. I want to say that's like episode number 7, might have been number 8. I was in my car. So, you know, it's like you don't really need – I mean, obviously, like you were speaking on earlier, if you want to eventually not have guests in your living room or not record from your car or whatever, you want to eventually level up and go to that speaking room or that studio with padding and everything to have that, you know, crisp sound and acoustics. However, you don't necessarily need that starting out. So it's very easy to start if you want to use it as a platform to distribute that content. Or maybe the news, then yeah, the podcast, it's very easy to, you know, get going. Any questions that anyone have on, like, or, you know, any insight?
I was just going to say, even, so I mean, if I've got two things right there, recording, because, well, we're doing a panel about podcasting, this should probably be recorded to wind up on a podcast somewhere. So there, I've got two units there. One is an older Tascam unit, and the other is a newer Zoom H6. The Tascam is like maybe $120 now, and that's what Bob and I used when we started. I mean, you know, we used that for, you know, just going out and getting interviews and talking to people, and it's a great little dynamic friendly unit. And then the H6 is a little bit more expensive; it's about $400. But so, I mean, even without a studio, I mean, those are two graduated steps you can make right there that kind of improve the quality of your sound, because yeah, I mean, you don't need a studio. Depending on how you edit and that kind of stuff, yeah. Too, because you also don't want your audio to sound like garbage, you know, because, I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, I've tuned out of podcasts that just sound like, yeah.
Yeah, that's very important. That could be a huge turnoff, because there's been many that I've tuned into, and, like, you know, they can sound far away, like someone can sound like they're way in the back of the room somewhere, but the guest, the host are speaking into the, you know, the main mic, but the guest that's on there sound like they're way in the back of the room, so the acoustics are very important. You definitely want it to sound, you know, to keep people in tone pretty much, you know, so that's definitely a huge important factor, having a podcast. Anyone else have anything want to add as far as, like, what they use to record?
Use Podcast Detroit to record.
Oh, we got some questions back. Someone pass the mic. Right,
yeah, can Facebook Live be considered a podcast?
I would say it can. It can, because I've seen people do it, like a lot of people that record. Some of the podcasts that I actually listen to go on Facebook Live, so I would say...
Why do you say none?
Because the whole point of podcasting is to have an archive and listen to it again. Putting it on Facebook Live is putting it out.
Actually, you know what? That's a good point. I'm loud. So, I mean, a common misconception with podcasting, and we've had to talk a lot of folks that have come to us through this, is it's not about what happens when you're live. You're not on radio. Yeah, people like to, you know, they want to hear the sound of their own voice, and they want their friends to listen in, and sometimes they want fun. Yeah, sometimes you do want phone calls if you're going to do, like, giveaways or a little fan interaction, that kind of stuff, but it's not about the live. Like, so we record, we've kept our same time slot when we were at somebody else's studio, when we had our own first studio, and even now that we have multiple studios. Monday nights, 9 o'clock, 9 to 11 p.m. Sometimes that's a horrible time for us personally to be doing stuff, but it is what it is. That's our time slot, and that's the most important thing about podcasting is cadence. Once you establish your cadence, whether it's daily, weekly, biweekly, monthly, I don't care what cadence it is that you set, stick to it. It takes 6 or 7 episodes to train listeners. It takes you 2 missed spots to lose them completely. So, I mean, that entire process of, you know, That live recording time is great, but it's all about syndication. So, I mean, as a network last month, I mean, so we have 84, 85 shows that run out of our Royal Oak studios now. We had 3.8 million listens and downloads last month. Less than 1% of that was live.
So you're saying that it's more important for the viewers to know when to tune in. Because I was thinking more of between live and spot.
It's when to expect your new show. For example, we call ourselves Sunday Morning Linux Review, and Dave thinks you're crazy. We literally, every 7 a.m. on Sundays, we record, like, religiously. That's when we release our content, because everyone knows on Monday they can download it. I know on Tuesday I can download Dave's podcast, because every Monday it records every time Tuesday. And the problem with, like, Facebook Live is content delivery. I have a podcast app. bet most of you do too if you listen to podcasts. How are you going to get that on Facebook? You're going to play that in your car while you're driving on your way to work and try to watch the video? It's a different medium versus just voiceover. So your podcast is just voice. You're used to listening to your car. My subscriptions automatically show up. I know which podcast and what day I'm going to listen to on my drive to work or wherever I'm driving to. So if you do Facebook Live, you lose that. Because great, it's immediate. It's a different medium than a podcast, though. It's different content creation. You can develop. There's a couple of them that do. One of my friends, he does a podcast and he live streams it on Facebook at the same time. He reaches probably two completely different audiences for that. He knows he's got his downloads for that. He's got his people who like just to watch them live. I don't care for some of the ones that I watch live because I'm listening to them and I usually listen to things played a little bit faster than they recorded at. So that makes it easy for me to consume. If any of my podcasts I regularly listen to switch to Facebook Live, I probably wouldn't listen to them.
That's what I was going to add to that is you can do it live. I haven't done it live personally, but capture that audio at the same time because the people that's catching it live, that may just be for them, but your loyal listeners are going to want the audio. Me personally, I prefer audio. I don't always watch the video for the podcast. There's one, the Joe Budden podcast, and they'll upload it to YouTube, but it's already after I've heard it on audio. So now I'm not interested to see the YouTube any longer because I've heard it on audio. So,
we live in a DVR world now. You know, there's no such thing. I mean, must-see TV died when Friends went off the air. You know, I want people, you know, your listening audience, I want to listen to when I want, what I want, how I want. Don't tell me I have to wake up at 6 in the morning to listen to your morning show on the radio when I work second shift. You know, that's why you're seeing even terrestrial. I mean, and there's your power of podcasting. Terrestrial radio has finally clued in and are pushing everyone to Play.it, to iHeartRadio, to all the other those podcasts, or even their own site, those podcasting platforms, because they understand now that appointment viewing or that appointment listening doesn't exist anymore. I want to listen to, you know, that morning show at noon when I'm driving into work. I still like the guys that do the morning show, but I'm not waking up at 6 a.m. to catch them.
Well, I just say, so it's like this, and we found what it works out really interactive. So audience, that's the cool thing, ask questions in between and ask your questions.
Definitely.
Because I used to think you couldn't put a podcast. It's just a misunderstanding of what I thought.
Well, so, I mean, technically speaking, so, I mean, a podcast, by definition, is audio. You know, so you will have, but you'll see, are you a vlogger because it's a video blog? Are you a video cast because it's a video podcast? Right. So I mean, there's all these different everybody because the right. I love your opening stat because it's the running joke is one out of every two Americans has listened to a podcast because one out of every two Americans has a podcast. So I mean, but yeah, I mean, it's just different platforms, different points of entry, and what you want to do with it.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got like questions for everybody, but I thank you for the clarification of the radio broadcast versus the podcast. So I started a radio thing, and to your comment about the dead air, I have a question about that too. So now I've got like 12 or 13 episodes that I started that nobody heard. So one, can that be converted into a podcast? Can that stuff be like uploaded to a platform and now played as a podcast? And two, how did you guys find your niche? Because what I was talking about was very specific. So how hard was it for you guys to find your audiences?
Well, for me, it was pretty easy. I'm a music artist. I'm name tag Alexander. So my general, it started with me and DJ DDT. Honestly, like the conversations we would have was more so just music. I love to talk about music. I can talk every day of the week, whatever. But that was my niche. So pretty much just music and also just general discussion that we talk about on a regular basis. That's my thing for the podcast, music, general discussion.
I say the more specific you can get, the better. Like, we're talking about audio, right? That's just a form of content, like Facebook Live is, like YouTube is. I'd say, like, figure out what you're good at, and if it's talking, like, you can tell there's a couple guys up here who have, like, the gift of gab, right? And if your thing is you like to talk, you like to interact with people, you like, you know, it's really nice because it's a long form. That's what we're talking about, is long form audio, and I think there's a real niche for that. And the more specific you can get, the more likely it is you'll find other people who are very specific about that thing too. Like broad sometimes works. Oftentimes I like drill down to what it is you know really well and then trying to get it out there, you know. So you have this podcast, you have other means to get that out, whether it's like Facebook, Twitter, starting to just talk,
about what you're doing and sharing that podcast in other areas.
And if you're really passionate about something, it's just a matter of time. You'll find other people passionate about what you're passionate about. He's passionate about music. We know there's a lot of people passionate about music. I'm a little bit more niche being in tech. I've got a video that's an hour and 20 minutes of me talking about firewalls that has over 100,000 views on it. And it tells you how long it lists to. So someone was really as passionate as I was about how firewall configurations should be. But it's funny. I mean, I'm just putting my passion into it and what I like in tech. But you'll find that. I mean, I was laughing. I ran across the guy who does elevator reviews. But I found myself watching him, too. This guy's really passionate about elevators, and he does YouTube videos on them. So you can find a niche for like anything, and just like really pursue it.
So you guys didn't have to be like, "Hi, my name is. This is my podcast. Hi, my name is. This is my podcast." How do people find you guys? I mean, do you put it up on this like a general search engine? Where to find podcast.com or whatever? I mean, how do people find you?
Usually, people who have the same interest find. Like every podcast I ever found was either through somebody telling me like, "Oh, I know you like this. You should listen to this," or even if you put it on YouTube, the audio also, just like, because like the young lady, she want to do Facebook Live. It's people who are interested in what you're interested in. It's a million of them. Just like he said, like he got 100,000 views on something about firewall, something you might skip over. But it's somebody who go click that. So they probably heard through a reference, something like that.
That's where properly tagging your podcast comes into play. Okay. Like a lot of times on SoundCloud, if I'm listening immediately when that episode is over with, it's another episode of a podcast that's similar to the one that I listened to. And that's how I found out about a lot of them, especially ones here in Detroit. Like, oh, okay, they're, you know, it's a similar topic that appeals to my interest. So you definitely want to make sure it's properly tagged.
Dave, hold on. Yeah. She had another question.
But
we didn't
answer that. Two more, so it's fine.
Your first question was about can it be converted?
Yes, the question.
Depends on who owns the content. And if it was recorded. If you own your content, yes, you can take that MP3 file and put it anywhere. Okay. That's all I just didn't want it. That was
cool. SoundCloud. Yeah. Go to SoundCloud.
Definitely okay. SoundCloud. Thank and you. In the back, I'll send you.
I'm coming from television. It's a talk show. And I would like to continue my show. I'm not real technology savvy. You know, this kind of like new iPads, that kind of stuff. I already have all this stuff. You have to learn in the studio. Would you assist someone like me to create this show, or would you have to come in and be ready to do all this stuff? Would you,
Short answer, yes. I mean, longer answer, yeah. I mean, we have engineers that run shows for people. We're just firing up video with green screen technology. We're doing, yes. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, so to us, I guess to clarify who we are and what we do, so iTeenity exists because we hated every other networking group on the planet, and so we wanted something that sucked less. And then so when we started doing our podcast, we realized there were issues. We created a network to try to make it suck less. And so we've built an environment, and this is why, I mean, I think one of the reasons why we keep growing, people appreciate what we do. You know, we look at it kind of like an incubator. We want people to find their voice, and we want them to do it in a good, clean, professional, but yet still fun. I mean, let's be honest, we have kegerators in a fully stocked bar environment that, you know, lets people do their thing. So, I mean, yeah, that's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do, is help.
I'm going to assume that podcasting is what you do to me.
I would damn well hope so.
It's okay. Give us an idea of a call. The person has, we have episodes and
it varies. I mean, with us as a studio, so I mean, our Royal Oak Studios are designed for, you know, like podcasts to just do their thing. It's $25 an hour to get started. We let people, we give you an engineer for the first few shows and let people figure out if they want to run it on their own or not. And it's not rocket science to run a show on your own just for this. It's a lot less complicated than TV. I've got like an 8-page ops guide with big giant pictures in it. Don't push this button, push this button, and you're good. But some people don't want, you know, they don't want to run the show on their own. They want to keep that engineer. That's another $15 an hour if you want to keep one after the first few shows.
Absolutely. If not the iPad, like I said, if you have a laptop, you can actually do it from your phone. If you have an Android or an iPhone, you should be able to do it as well. If you go into the Google Play Store and just Google podcast app, some apps will pull up that's to your preference that you can select to actually record episodes with.
Thank you very much.
I'll add one more thing. Like Dave said, because we record there at Podcast Detroit, Dave, the booklet is as easy as he sounds. Even has things like, said, don't touch this button. And so he's got it very clear.
Never, ever push the red one.
Don't push the red one. Tom did push the red one once. You know, I don't know what it did. But but he's got his structure, so you can come in there and step-by-step, record your show, have the content ready. They have like a guide of how – they have kind of a how-to guide. I mean, it's going to require some work on your part, but their how-to guide is complete. Like, it will tell you where to post it, where to get the shows posted, how to have people listen to you. They have an app. You'll be available to listen on it. They have all this stuff integrated in that, and they make it easy.
You got a question? First, just thanks. I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time today. My question is for everybody. In your opinion, what's the best platform for your podcast? And then the follow-up is, does it depend on the topic and the content that you're discussing? And then this is for all of you. And then I have one more follow-up.
I'm going to answer that. The best platform to me, I would say SoundCloud because of the interaction. You get the comments. It's almost like social media for audio. You get the comment, and, you know, if you can see that, you can just interact.
It's social.
The person is running the platform.
So, right.
I would say the podcast app on Apple because it's automatically on your phone. If you got an iPad or if you got an iPhone right now, you got the podcast app. All you got to do is go to it and put in whatever you want to listen to.
But how many people use that?
I'm going to be completely argumentative.
Is there numbers on it?
Yeah. The right platform is all of them.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
It's what the listener prefers.
You may publish to SoundCloud.
We give it our preference, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you may publish to SoundCloud, but SoundCloud gives you an RSS feed, and you damn well better be taking that RSS feed and adding it to the iTunes store, to Stitcher,
to Podbean. So it's easy enough to just push it through all platforms.
Yeah, so I mean, like, and then that actually, to her earlier question, it's the same thing. Like, when we publish shows that record in our studios, we take them, we record them, we edit them, and we make sure I think we're publishing stuff to 37 different syndication points right now.
Okay.
Because, and laughably, we had one of our listeners that was so proud of himself. He's like, guys, I added you to the Zune store. We were like, sweet, that's awesome. But we got four more listeners there that we didn't have before.
Everyone
counts. All right. So, I mean, it's, you should have any place that'll take an RSS feed, and there's a lot of them, you should be there because it's not about what you want. It's not, because like, us too, we love SoundCloud. Like when we started our show 4 years ago, we started with SoundCloud because it had a nice, clean, embeddable web player that we could put on our blogs, we could put on Facebook, we could put on everywhere. But then you kind of have to be on iTunes because it's a necessary evil because the you know it is what it is.
Right.
And then you ought to be on Podbean. You ought to be on Podomatic. RSS feeds and go.
Okay, and then the follow up to that is how do you measure your listeners? Do they provide
by width?
Do they provide? That's a good one. Like, do they provide the ability on the back end to see like how many listeners, where they're from geographically, how long they listen for, the age?
You can use Blueberry.
What is it called?
You can use it for as it. Blueberry is what we use. Our audience is.
How do you spell that?
B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. B-R-R-Y. Yeah, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. You can set up a free account, and you can pay for a few dollars for premium features, and that tracks all of our downloads. So we have a huge international audience. We actually have almost more listeners, well, close to more listeners outside the U.S. than inside. That's where iTunes becomes really limiting. iTunes is super popular in America.
So all your listeners use proxies, Tom.
That's why I spit yes.
That's a joke that like three people got.
It's all right.
I'm not one of them.
I know you can do it with sound like SoundCloud. Someone mentioned it as well. Like depending on if you got pro or whatever, you can see like who's listening across the world. Like,
you can see what city too.
If they're logged
SoundCloud.
In.
If they're logged in.
Yeah. So
can you see the length of time that they listen for?
No.
No. So that's one of the issues with iTunes and why I kind of hate them with a passion. They are such a pain in the butt to deal with. They don't give you stats. They don't give you anything.
Okay.
You have to use a third-party platform like Blueberry. The only two places we publish content to, SoundCloud, Blueberry. That's where all of our shows go, and everything gets fed off of those because Blueberry is that third-party provider that will pull the stats for you, that does all that stuff for you. It's kind of as good as you can do.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to bounce around and get you here. You have your hand up in the back, and then we're going to slide over here to you and Tina. I got it. I remember. Yeah. So your question.
Thank you. You mentioned something about owning content.
Mm-hmm.
So in what situation, I was under the impression that if you did a podcast, like, you would own your content.
So if
do you not own your content?
Well, again, we try to build a podcast network that sucks less. There are some podcast networks out there that are less scrupulous than we are. And when you go to them and you record your show there, they have little clauses in their nonsense that say that they have a partial, at least a partial interest in your content. So if you try to leave them, they gank you. And it's annoying and it sucks. And we've had more than one show up on our doorstep dealing with this situation. So yes, if you do decide, like I said, doesn't have to be us. You don't even need a studio. You don't even have to be us if it is. Just please, for the love of God, when you decide to go trust, because you are trusting someone to be your platform, read and find out and ask questions about how they handle situations like that. I mean, it's, if they're above board, like, they shouldn't get pissed off if you ask, well, like, we own our content, right? Because I get asked that question by almost every new show that walks in to talk to us. Like, yeah, duh.
So do people have to, like, do anything extra in order to ensure that they own their content when they work with, like, networks? Or is that something that's automatically implied in the clause, like,
it depends on who. Oh, like with us? Yeah.
Yeah.
With somebody else?
That says you own your
we specifically call them that. Okay. We don't do a contract or anything stupid like that, because we're not trying to lock people up. We do have like a little code of conduct that basically says you're not going to burn our building down. And one of those little bullet points in there is you own your content. Just to spell it out and have it perfectly above board, because we don't want. Yeah.
Okay. So if you like doing.
Oh, well, then, yeah, if you're doing it by yourself, yeah.
Okay.
Automatically. I had green code in the back. I personally, right now, and it's pretty much the same software that I record with when I'm just on my own time, I would say multi-track. And just based off what I'm using, multi-track, DAW, I've actually used GarageBand at one point, but those are just like the main two. More so right now, it's just multi-track. It's easier to clip, edit, you know, pull stuff out, so I would recommend that per se. It's very easy to use.
I like Audacity. It's open source. It's available for PC and Mac. It's free. And with all the plugins that are, like, that's what we use. You know, we used it when we first started. I still use it because it works really, really well. Oh, it's, yeah. I mean, it laughably, so we have interns from Specs that come in to edit shows. Like, I created a how-to guide. It's 2 pages long with big screenshots. This is how you open a file. So, I mean, it's really easy. And like, they read it once, and then they never pay attention again, and they're good to go. So, yeah, it's a very user-friendly program.
I got you here. We still got UDT, and then you here.
So what would you guys, like, the top 5 things that you would recommend for you to do to prepare to get started? I heard, of course, equipment, maybe reviewing the information, where you're going to place your podcast. What else would you recommend if you wanted to get started? Because I'm hearing that you should just get started because you never know who will receive your information. But I'm sure that it's some sort of preparation that, you know, you need to have, like, some sort of checklist so that you make sure that what you're doing is the correct way. Or is it just one of those things where you just need to jump out here and get started with what you're doing?
Well, to me, people crave conversation. So that's another reason people tune into podcasts. It's just the conversation that people are into. So I would say freestyle it, but don't freestyle it. Like, have some talk points on what you want to touch on. I'm not sure exactly what yours is to be, what it's going to be about. But, like, let's say if you're touching on pop culture, have talk points of what you're going to speak on in pop culture. Then if it goes anywhere left from there, that's cool, but you still got your main talk points that you want to speak to it. So
I would say that you should do the proper research to make sure that you're not delivering the same type of content that somebody else is delivering, so that will put you in a different light. So even though you might have a show that dealing with music, you might not want to touch on none of the same points that the shows that you listen to that deal with music touch on, because now you're not unique. There's nothing special about why somebody will come listen to you. So I would say you should always do your research first.
And then I heard you guys also say consistency is important. So the date that you stick to, I've subscribed to some podcasts where they just kind of drop the information, but I have heard that consistency is more important. So what you say,
it is, because people base their day sometimes around, like, when their favorite podcasts come out. Like, for example, I know if I work a long day on Wednesday, I have 4 podcasts I can listen to and work over. Now, what if one of them don't drop that Wednesday with no warning? They don't feel like putting it up. Now I got to look for another one. Yeah. And that other one I find, go replace that.
Yeah.
As long as they consistent.
First world problems.
But yeah. Structure. Sorry. I was just going to say structure that time. So it is a consistency of when it's coming out, but its structure is when you're working on it is also consistent. So those are two sort of layers of timing that you have to think about.
When
are you working on it, and then when is it coming out?
I won't take up a whole bunch of time with it. So we actually wrote a doc. That's what I was pulling up here. Search how not to suck at starting a podcast. We've got like...
He wrote the manual.
Like, here are 18 things you probably haven't thought about before you start recording. And here's the thing. It's all stuff that we did and screwed up on. Like, we're like, oh, you guys are expert. No. We've just screwed up every way you can possibly screw up. So please don't screw up the same way. So that's why it's how not to suck at starting a podcast.
We found that.
It's on the Podcast Detroit site.
Yep.
I mean, if you want to go there, it's in our blogs.
I'll be going there myself.
Also, build a consistency to your show. So our show has the same bumps in at the same sound bites we've been using for a long time. So we have a catching up with each other we do at the beginning. And literally, it is catching up with each other. Me and my co-hosts don't hang out together. We hang out on Sundays at 7 a.m. So when we say, hey, what did you do last week, Tony? I literally don't know what he did last week. I haven't spoken to Tony since the last show we recorded. So that consistency, along with we have, you know, the things we're going to do, we have a news section we keep to a certain amount of time. We always cover our listener feedback, and we have a bump that says, listener feedback. You know, we put a couple fun things in there. But you know which part of the show is coming up like that. But having some type of consistency and structure so people kind of know what to expect from you. They know our podcast is going to be about an hour long. Every other podcast, what we call Dish Review, we review a specific product. So we cadence it like that. And so it's very, we have a predictable pattern. And like I said, kind of our audience, you're kind of training the audience, but they kind of get used to it. They know, you know, we're recording at 7. Monday they can listen to it. And if we miss something, the only time we have trouble is when we're in Seattle. We're a few hours off, so the timing was a little bit different, but it's still fun. It's still about keeping that consistency and structure to it.
PodcastDetroit.com.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, you just got to start. Like, you can plan all day. You got to start. Figure out what you're good at. Figure out what you like to talk about that people like to listen to. It's like any kind of content. You know, probably going to be bumpy in the beginning.
I want to get a ton of listeners. His question, because I know he had a question as well. We want DDT and in the back, then here.
So a couple of different things. Like, how much time are you guys spending after you record with your editing? I mean, is it a big part of you?
10
pretty
minutes.
Much. All right, so a lot of it is coming out raw.
I usually have, like, my intro music already edited anyway that I would just already have placed in there, and then maybe just like an ad or, you know, any other drop that's already together, so I can just paste it in here.
And well, and there are two schools of thought with it. I mean, so like we've talked with Jordan, a guy who runs the Art of Charm podcast. They spend 8 hours every day editing a half hour show. Bless them for having the time to do that. Like us, our decision was we wanted it to be more natural. Like right. Like, I don't care if you listen to our show, you run into us at a networking event, you talk with us here, we're going to sound the same because there's no polishing that goes on. I want the ums, the ahs, our natural speech games.
I guess.
Go ahead. Our drops, like, inserting drops be a real pain in the butt. And one of the things we do is we actually have a really old Android phone, and there's an app you can get to load your sound drops on, and that's how we cue them in a show. That way we do this. We just hold our finger up. We know it's time to do that. We wait because we don't always wear headsets on there. If we wait, it inserts a drop. That cuts down any post-production time. Right. Mm-hmm. The only post-production work we do is double-check to make sure in Audacity that the sound levels are good. Like Dave said, it's like 10 minutes of work. And we do a song of the week every time we record, so I usually insert the full version of the song because we do cut that out when we're actually recording so we don't have to listen to it. So yeah, 10, 15 minutes later, it's up everywhere.
And then I guess like the other part of that is, I mean, are you guys all pumping out content for free and then relying on advertisers, or is there a point where you guys are pumping, and then you're saying, okay, this is going to be now a premium version where I'm going to sell this content, or is it pump, and then you ask for like a sale to convert? I mean, because ultimately the whole goal of this is to make money. And so is there a point?
No, it's where not. If your goal with podcasting is to make money, don't start.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying in any
it's not the road to riches.
I'm saying, like, if you're going to, like, you're going to go make it for your passion, right? And you're going to go do this. But eventually, there's something, some point during what you're doing where you're going to make money from it. I mean, I don't know that it's a goal.
If that's your goal, don't. I mean, so for like, honestly, here's the deal. Yes, we've gotten insanely lucky with IT&D, and we've got three different ad brokers that we deal with, and yeah, we've got some good ad revenue that comes in. I did not know that podcast advertising was a thing for a year and a half until Midroll knocked on our door and said, hey, we want to put ads on your stuff. And we were like, wait, what? That's a thing? So, if your goal sitting behind the mic is to try to turn this into a revenue stream, you're going to fail.
But it's different like that. Like Gary Vee, you know, who I think a lot of people listen to it one way or another, doesn't have any advertisement on his podcast. And everything is for free. And so he's going where, you know, he talks about, like, I'm a jab, 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 right hook type thing. And so I'm saying, at what point do you, when you're in your listeners, are you guys converting, or is there an ask? Are you simply putting it out just to contribute to the world and see what happens from there?
For us, it was for giggles. It was our bowling night. We don't bowl anymore. We don't golf anymore. We don't do any of that stuff anymore. We've talked with business. Like, we've got a couple of business shows that record with us. That yes, they record a free version of their show, and then they record some extended content to go behind a paywall. You can go that route. They're not seeing a lot of conversions there. I mean, so just from a metrics perspective, I mean, you can do it for whatever reason you want to do it. I'm just telling you that it's from our experience and what I've seen from shows that have gone down that road before. If you're going into it with the intent of making money out of it, instead of going into it with the intent of, hey, I'm either going to have fun with it, this is going to be my bowling night, or this is something I would be doing anyway. Like with us, it's putting mics in front of our faces when we're at the bar. It's the same thing. We'd be having these conversations anyway. The fact that other people want to listen to them, great.
We're sitting here talking about low barriers to entry. It is hard work, right? Consistently, every week, same time, it is work. Yeah. And if you go in it like, we're going to make money off this, you're going to burn out in a heartbeat. But if it's fun, if it's bowling night, man, like you're getting together and you're laughing and having beers and talking about things you love, I'd say then you got a shot. Yep. You know, we did a season and we were like,
yeah,
keep this shit up, you know.
And we solicit for donations on SMLR.
You know, the more YouTube reviews you get, the more followers you get, that's when the revelations come out. The more subscribers you get, the more people are listening to your podcast, that's when advertisers are.
There's no barriers that, like, there's no lines there. Like,
really, so the advertisers would say that they came knocking on your door because you had 100,000.
We have shows that have less than 100 listeners that have sponsors on our network.
So they came to us, was it collectively?
I mean, shows individually. Because, I mean, like, when a show on our network goes and gets their own sponsor, we don't care. We don't need to know about it. But we talk to them about it. So, like, you know, they're, and all their, like, whether it's just getting their studio fees covered or if they're getting repair work done on their car or, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's a lot of times it's, you know, yes, when you're dealing with the big ad brokers, there are number limits that if you're not at least at X, they won't even return your phone calls. But when it's small local companies or like a local bar or a local this or a local that, if you can show them, hey, you know, good, yeah, I've only got 100 listeners, but man, do I have, like, look at the engagement on those 100 listeners. These are your local, you know, they're your local audience. It's who you want to talk to. That has a ridiculous amount of value.
And from an advertising standpoint, because we advertise with a lot of different, I think it's just like the niche of people listening. So, like you said, he got the people with 100. So we listen to podcasts. We got 10,000 listeners, 2 listeners. If you got 2 listeners and you talking about what we like, then we want to advertise with you because we want your 2 listeners to try our product. So it's not it's not a numbers thing. I don't even necessarily want to know the numbers. As long as I know it's just more than me and my brother listening, because I can't advertise it. But we do it because we rock with that podcast. We know y'all probably got to get y'all studio fees covered or something, or like you might be a working person here. Let us advertise a couple shows, take some burden off you, and then you introduce us to your audience. It don't necessarily have to be through an interview. We just want them to let y'all know what we do. So I think it's more of a niche thing, too. Like, people who like it, go like it, and then they reach out to you.
You know, when you become a numbers thing, that's when I bow out. Because it's like that with music. And it's like, God, you know, so I do it for the sake of conversation. However, I'm open to advertisement, leadinglegendary.net. DDT, you had a question. We're going to get my mans in the back, and also I saw my mans in the head.
I'm actually good. My question is
good. Are you good? Okay. My guy in the back, he has your hand up.
Yeah, anybody from the company, I'm curious. If you have a brand or information that you were putting out on the media, how
Well, we don't get 300,000 people a week at our networking events, I'll tell you that much. I mean, it's a thing. You know, it depends on who you're going after. I mean, so, you know, podcasting is, it's a very, very growing medium. We were trying to pull up, we have a media kit out on the site that has, like, numbers and demographics. I mean, here's something else about numbers to keep in mind, like, especially if you're starting a show and you want to have those conversations with advertisers. I love it when people don't understand how Nielsen for TV and Arbitron for radio work, because those are so much of the most extrapolated BS numbers that you will ever see in your life. You know, Nielsen is X number of TVs for the entire Y population in Metro Detroit. And so they take those like 300 sets and extrapolate it out to those like 9 million people. You don't know what those numbers really are. Arbitron, they mail stuff out to people and they rely wholly on the number, on whoever takes the time to actually mail stuff back. With podcasts, like we were talking about, depending on how deep you want to get with it, I can give you to the minute numbers on who's listening, where they're listening, how they're listening, and for how long. You know, so I mean, that's a huge thing. Now, as far as with a branding, that's where like some of our business shows have kicked in, and they're starting to see it not even so much as a medium for getting the word out about what they're doing, but as a replacement for other things that they're doing. It's kind of like, you know, the days of somebody saying, "Hey, if you give me $1 million and I'll build you a website that'll make you $50 million," those are long gone. But hey, if you give me $1 million, I'll build you a website that's going to save you $15 million through process improvements. They'll have that conversation. So, you know, whether it's things like getting rid of those stupid, annoying 8 a.m. WebEx meetings that nobody loves and everybody hates and nobody likes to put on a shirt and tie and no pants to sit behind the camera, you know, getting rid of those and instead replacing it with a 20-minute podcast that you record and send that out and just say, hey, you know what, listen to it this week. This is the sales call. Go listen to it. That's what I've seen a lot of people start to do.
Yeah, question in the back room. Right, yeah.
Mark is from Scratch Podcast.
Yes, sir.
On your way to network.com. One question, where are the top 3 places you promote your podcast?
Interesting. Me, more so, I get a lot of listeners from Facebook, honestly, just like the Facebook promoted post and Twitter, actually. Twitter.
Facebook.
Yeah, I hear that guesting on other shows has actually been awesome for us because you start cross promoting. Mm-hmm. You find other shows, you be a guest on there, and then people find your show and vice versa. We always give a plug out to the shows that guested with us, and you know all that cross promotion is awesome. Get some cross reads on there. Hey, check out our friends over at the XYZ podcast. You'll get a huge, especially if they're in the same market as you. You know, you find it's not like competitive. It's not like you're going to steal them. There's cool people. A lot of times, there's not enough content in a single genre. So you can think, well, I covered it, he's covering it. No, cross-promote, be friends. It's going to work out real well for you.
For sure. Yeah. And shout out to From Scratch because of that. They the reason I got hit to a bunch of podcasts, such as the ones on Audio Wave Network and right here.
Real quick follow-up, Dave. Which tool do you use to measure the length of listen?
Their stats. I mean, SoundCloud is really, it doesn't do it very well, but Blueberry does.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, question in the back.
Yeah, so I understand it's long form content, something that people are not listening, but if you're starting out, what time do you recommend converting a web series and creating a podcast version? So just like at the starting point,
less than half an hour.
No. As long as it needs to be.
Right. From a listener standpoint, I want to, like, if it's a web series going into a podcast, I don't want you to stop in the middle of the web series. I want that to be the length of it. So then that's what he's saying when you train a listener. So if all the web series, 15 minutes, that's what the podcast should be. So they know, okay, well, I got 15 minutes with this one. Let me find another one. Or I might start at week 17. Listen to that. I got to go back to week one because I got to know and catch up, and I know it's only 15 minutes an episode. I can listen to that.
I mean, honestly, the biggest thing, like, and I guess I should clarify that how not to suck at podcasting thing we did, those are suggestions. They're not rules because anybody who tells you there are any rules about podcasting, they are lying their ass off to you. You know, people tell us we're doing things wrong all the time, and yet it seems to be working, so we're okay with being wrong.
I agree with everything. The reason I said 30 minutes, think about your time and how much you're going to invest, and if you're editing it or what, it's an investment of your time first before it becomes an investment of someone else's time. So think about the quality of the time is, I guess, the point.
I would also add on to that, like, podcasts have to fit into my life. So, like, I have things that I do that are generally 20 to 30 minute cycles, whether it's workout, drive. So I'm, Francis said under 30, I was like, yep, mm-hmm. Because that's how it fits into my life. You know, I, but other people might be longer, but I guess it's just like, what does your audience relate to? What do they respond to? Well,
one of my favorite podcasts right now is Marc Maron, and it's been going on forever. It's, you know, but it's like an hour. It's a serious time commitment, but living to some of these points, I'm invested in it. So think about, just think about how it fits your life and other people's.
Yes. We got about a few minutes to go, so I'm going to take a couple more. You good? You good? Your question? And then yours.
Quick question. Are you guys creating content, like, months out, or is everything always fresh?
Fresh
for me.
Yeah.
Fresh for me, too.
See, with us, yes, it's weekly, and it's you know, record, release. We have some folks that come into our studios. We call them bursts. We'll see that, like, they'll come in and book, like, 8 hours and record, like, 16 half-hour episodes, and then we won't see them for 4 months. Because they go off and they release them one a week beyond that. Again, it's what works for you. They record two episodes every Sunday. They're only in every other week.
Yeah.
Because that's the pattern that works for them. Right.
We stack the recordings. We record for 2 solid hours. We end the show, start the show. That's also why we don't do the catch-up on the second show, and we do it as like a review. But that helps content, because we can sit down for 2 hours, and every other Sunday we actually have to wake up, but we still release on Sundays.
You had a question right here.
The smallest room possible?
Yeah.
I mean, because the bigger and more wide open spaces you have, the more room that sound has to reflect in. So, I mean, it's, I don't care if you're, you know, you wind up recording in a closet, so be it. I mean, if that's what works for you, that's what works for you.
$99 box and this stuff too.
Yeah.
Just put it on the table and kind of sit it up the whole room. Yeah. Also, room on your
computer. Yeah, they're. You can search for them. If you look for like mini podcast booth, they sell them on Amazon. They're pretty slick.
And I said this before, like me and DDT, we podcasted out the car before, honestly, like just normal conversation. And imagine it's a car, it's compact, so you know.
Where's the guy selling $99?
Guitar Center.
About to build a refrigerator box.
Guitar Center.
You got Guitar Center, Micro Center, Radio Shack.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
We have room for 2 more questions.
Anybody got more? We got a couple more. Right, you good? Any more questions?
Any closing statements?
The last question before, was that yours? It was about...
Are you two twins?
Yes.
Oh, thank God I'm not drunk.
Just real, as you were speaking, it sort of goes back to my opening statement. The content ultimately is what's driving any of this, and in terms of the time that you spend putting it together, we had a conversational podcast for the first season that took time, and it was, you know, edited, and we spent a lot of time on it, but ultimately it was about that moment between us and some of the guests that we had. Our next season, we were going to do more of a documentary style where we were doing research, and we were doing interviews, and we were reading, and it was we found it was a very, very different level of commitment and time that we spent to. So I guess that is a big, you know, ultimately what you're hearing on the other side, it's all a minute, it's all five, it's all the same. Minutes go by. You don't really necessarily think about the time that goes into what, you know, what you're spending on putting it together. Is it a conversation that's very temporal, it's topical, it's, you know, I'm listening to something from 2016 May, and I sort of feel that? Or are you talking about something that's researched in long form and has hours and hours and hours put into it? And that, for me, was one of the biggest discoveries of doing a podcast, just sort of thinking about how the structure of it turns into time on the other side.
And in closing, I'm learning on the job. Like I said, I'm 13 episodes in, so I'm always willing to share information on what I'm learning on how to excel at podcasting, so you can always reach out to me on social media. It's name tag Alexander on all platforms, or LABL Music, and I respond to it.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Appreciate
you. Round of applause for our Alexander Shack, Tom Callis, name tag David. Thanks.
the Cause Hip Hop app, Matt, Francis, and Lawrence. If you go to the Sketch, I believe everyone probably put in their website, their LinkedIn, their Facebook, or their email. That's how you can find them, or you can network in the hallway. But we got to clear out. There's another session coming in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.